session number 9793, reel 1.
Mr. Bradley, Reel 1. Where do you come from, Mr. Bradley?
Originally, Lincolnshire. Layout.
Which year were you born?
1921.
What did your father do for a living?
He's a fireman on the railway.
How old were you when you left school?
14.
What job did you take up when you left?
I joined the Navy at 15. I was on a building firm before that.
Why did you decide to go in for the Navy?
I'd always wanted to do. I'd always been mad to go to sea.
Was there anything that particularly that attracted you to it?
I thought that's the life I'd like.
Where did you do your initial training?
HMS Shotley.
Where was that?
Ipswich. Yeah, HMS Gandies. At Shotley, I mean.
What was the training like?
Very stiff.
In what way?
He was in bed at 9 and up at 5. Straight under PT, and the first thing they tell you there, you don't walk, you don't run, you fly. Everywhere you went, you had to double. And you'd be doing anything from gunnery to PT in the morning or signalling. So much school. You'd have 10 minutes for your dinner. If you hadn't eaten it in 10 minutes, it was gone. They cleared the tables. In the afternoon, you weren't allowed in the mess where you lived till 3:30, even if it was raining or snowing. You were only allowed sports gear on and a Mac, even in the cold weather. They had a recreation hall, but it wasn't big enough for 3,000 people that was there. Not really. The only time you got off, on Sunday afternoon, you was allowed, if you wasn't on duty, you was allowed to walk in the country lane. If you was caught smoking or talking to girls, you got so many lashes.
So many?
Lashes.
How did they administer the lashes?
Well, we weren't allowed to see it, but I think a cat of nine tails.
Did you ever get it yourself?
No.
Did you know anybody who did?
No, not now. If you did jank it, you'd be running around with a pole the same as a rifle for an hour, and holding it in different positions.
Like rifle drill?
Yeah. I got that at, when I got down to Chatham with a rifle. Did it for 1 hour, and then another instructor took over and got it for another hour, which was illegal. There were 6 of us left standing out of 30 of us.
Did you think that the initial training was fair, or do you think you were ill-treated?
Well, in some cases you're ill-treated. You got knocked about with the instructors.
In what way?
Punch in the mouth.
Did you get punched in the mouth?
I got more than that. I got to... We had a kit muster every Wednesday. Everything had to be laid out and everything tied as per manual. Well, we had a little ditty box, a little personal box with a brass nameplate on. Well, I suddenly forgot about it and I scrubbed it and polished the plate while I'm still doing my kid up, and it dried because it left two finger marks. These two instructors came over. One said, "Whose is this?" "You have to call everybody sir." I said, "Mine, sir." He punched me in the mouth. The chief said, "Right, you scrub that every day before you have your dinner and for a week and show it to your instructor. And if it's not clean, you scrub it till it is." So every day for a week, I had no dinner. One morning, I just scrubbed it, and he was late coming, his chief. Four rows of beds. My dirty box was on the shelf that side. I was getting changed this side, ready for sports gear. He said, "Where's your dirty box?" I said, "Over there, sir." He brought his fist round, and I never touched the middle two beds. He looked at it, "Right, go on." Well, the last day...
Why did he hit you?
Just because he felt like it. Because because it was that side. "Right, get it," he said. And he knocked me...
Were you bleeding?
No, it was a bruise there.
On your cheek?
Yeah. So he didn't lay me out because he hit me on the chin. Anyway, the last day, my mate said, "Look, you've had no dinner all the week." He said, "I'll take down the small wash out and scrub it, and you get your dinner." I'm stood there eating my dinner, and his instructor came in, the other one, the petty officer. He said, "Where's your dirty box?" "In the small wash out, sir. Go get it." And he followed me. Saw my mate scrubbing it. "Right," he said, "you've scrubbed yours for a week now for scrubbing it for him." So he got a week of it. This was in the seaman's mess, and I'd had to go in there because I was in hospital when they had the exam for the signalman. For signal rent, so... Anyway, I managed to get a transfer to the signals. And I saw this bloke called Martin that had scrubbed me. I said, "How did you get on?" He said, "I had to scrub it for another week then, but scrubbing it for you." So he got a fortnight. So that was all just for one fingerprint on the bloody...
What were you in hospital for?
When I had the injection, I had the flu. And the effects of this, the game...
A reaction?
Yeah. I had a temperature of 104. And just collapsed on the parade ground. And they brought me in hospital.
What did you think to this treatment? Did you think it was fair, or did you feel it was unjust?
Well, you didn't have... You just had to put up with it, because if you'd reacted and it wouldn't have been back, they was hand in glove with the officers. So you've got no escape. You just had to put up with it until they left shortly. And you couldn't leave there till you passed out and everything.
Was there any other harsh treatment that you had?
Yes, sir. You had to sew your name in your kit. It was stamped with paint, like your name, in white paint. And you had to sew chain stitch. And this instructor inspected it. Well, was doing sock, right, and sewed my name in, took it. I'd missed a stitch. He punched me in the mouth, made me split my lip. He said, and he cut all them stitches out, he says, "And don't miss a stitch another time. Give me back." So I had to make sure I didn't miss a stitch.
So you punched in the mouth just for missing a stitch?
Yeah.
Was this punching in the mouth a typical punishment, or...?
It wasn't... See, when I went into signals... Because this bloke knocked me off the bed, he was a big bloke, about 18 stone. And
you were 15, were you?
Yeah. And when I went in signals, the because the petty officer is a yeoman. They call him yeoman. When he come in, there's another big other, oh no. He had a bundle of nerves. And he said, come here, he said, somebody been knocking you about? I said, I don't like to say, sir, because I thought, if I opened my mouth. He said, all right, what mess was you in? He said, Chief of Cowans. I said, don't say no more. He said, well, you're in signals now. He said, that'll not happen here. So you've got nothing to worry about. So that's how it was there.
Did it happen again?
No, not there.
So it depended on the yeoman in charge, didn't
it? Yeah. Oh, that's what it was. It wasn't every... I was just unlucky. I mean, it didn't happen in every case. But when we first went there, you all allotted a job. Right, these six lads, their job was doing the washing up. Well, we didn't have any hot water at the time because it hadn't been laid on properly. And there's a bit of grease between the prongs. And they all got six lashes with what they call a stunner key. It's a rope's end about that thick.
It was a what?
A stunner key, they call it.
What did it look like?
A rope's end. You know, the end of a begauser, about that across it. And in front of all of us, they'd all had to bend over. And they all got, I don't know, might have been six lashes. I'm not sure now, it's three or six, but anyway, it was enough.
For leaving grease on a fork?
Yeah, just between the four prongs, you know. Which can easily happen, I mean.
So, were some of the yeomen bad and some of the yeomen good?
Well, this wasn't the yeoman, this was in the seamen's. See, in the new entries, and then when you're a new entry, a nozzer as a class, for 17 weeks you don't have contact with anybody else. And that's normally under seamen POs. Well, then you still go to school. About twice a week then, and when you have your 12 week exam, depends, although I put in for signals when I joined, depends on this exam whether you went in signals or advanced class seaman or general seaman. Well, as I was in hospital, as I say, when time the exam, they brought me straight into the general seaman, which I hated anyway.
Why?
Well, I wasn't interested. I was interested in signals. That's where I used to cope, because every time this chief PO went to go and do instructions about boats, he's telling it all parts of the boats, because I'm miles away. I didn't even know. All of a sudden, say, "Oh, you here? Where's the lazy painter?" Well, I'd say, then he had a stomach in his hand. I get a clout with it. So I soon learnt the parts of boats. But, you know, it didn't appeal on me, not...
What kind of signalling were you doing? Were you learning about?
Well, I think it's when you're doing your 12-week, you can either go in wireless telegraphy or in visual signalling. We had, in them days, mechanical arms, which they don't have now. They took them away, so the war broke out because of they weren't the metal. You've seen the signals on the railway, side of the railway,
with the arms that go up and down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this mechanical arms is like that, but it's a chain down to two. See, as you're working from the bottom like that, so you work semaphore, used for semaphore, and they move in correspondence with the arms you moved down here.
Yes.
Well, then they got rid of them. Then we used to signal by semaphore, flag hoisting, Morse code by the lamp, oldest lamp. I'll tell you the comicalist one I had. I had to go ashore when I was on the Ajax to Jamaica to set up his signal office. And I thought it was a cricket bag I was carrying. I said, "What's in this?" He said, "You'll find out." It was a bike without wheels, like a bike, fixed to his oldest lamp, and I had to sit and pedal to generate it in the tropics. It was and I couldn't stop because he stopped signalling. So I'm pedalling this and these.
So did you find the signals training easy or difficult?
Well, you had to concentrate all the time. I liked it, though. It was hard because you had to really concentrate to remember, you know. You had to learn the Morse code and... But it's interesting.
So you passed an exam to pass out as a signaller, did you?
Yeah, well, you would pass exams all the time, you know. I had to do it shortly. Yes, you had to pass the signal exam there, and then eventually, see, I was still in boys' service. I was the youngest signalman on the ship. I was 18 in the July, as the war broke out in September. So. Then I automatically became ordinary signalman. Well, then I did sit for signalman. That's the next step. When we put in into Devonport, but I failed that because I'd been telling right the night before and couldn't concentrate. Anyway, I knew that's how I found my eye had gone. I was swatting up. And rubbed my eye and couldn't see out the other one. Then I found out it was blind.
Now, coming on to the Ajax, can you tell me when you joined the Ajax?
1938.
What would you like to serve on?
Well, it's all right. Yeah. To get there, we had to carry a kit over two fields from a train.
Where was this?
In River Plate, in La Plata. We had to go by train, then carry a bag and ammo over a couple of fields to where the ship was.
How had you got to the River Plate? How had you got to the River Plate?
That's how I had to do it.
This is when you joined the Ajax?
When I joined it, yeah.
You joined her, what, at Buenos Aires?
I joined her at River Plate, yeah. And then we went all the way around South America and got back. And we was off Rio when the war broke out.
But how had you got to the River Plate in the first place? On another ship?
Oh, no. I went over on the Island Brigade.
On the what?
Island Brigade. That's a... And a P&O liner. There was 40 of us for the Ajax, 40 for the Exeter. And
what was it like on this liner?
Oh, it was all right. Well, you weren't like a passenger. We had a PO in charge of us. He was getting a boxing contest up for the benefit of the other passengers. Because we had to do PT every day, you know. Anyway, I put the gloves on one day and... I don't suppose you want to know that. I turned around thinking my mate had got him on and this big stoke had got him on. I was only a bantam, I was only 8 stone odd. I said, hang on, I said, we're on his sparring. Anyway, because the other 80 all gathered round to watch. I mean, I'm only a little fella. He kept coming in at me and I couldn't get at him. I'll have you in a minute. And as he did, I hit him under the chin, lifts him off his feet and hit his head on the deck. That really put him out. I had to lift him on a bottle and throw water over him. His name was Smart, but he wasn't so smart. Anyway, when he was getting this contest up, they were all betting money on me to beat this. But as it happened, they cancelled the show the night before because of the weather, so it never materialised.
So this was on the P&O ship going
across?
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
When was it that you joined the Ajax?
I've got the date this one.
Which year was it?
1938.
But was she a happy ship to sail on?
Yes, well, I found it so.
How many signallers would there be on a ship, on a cruiser like the Ajax?
Well, as you say, must have been about three watches. About a dozen, I suppose.
Were you on the Ajax when some of the crew went ashore in Kingston, Jamaica to suppress some riots there?
No, that was just before I joined it.
So you must have joined in the summer of 1938.
Yeah.
When you heard that Britain was at war with Germany, what was your reaction then?
Well, it wasn't a surprise because the crisis was on the year we went over there, 1938. We'd been expecting it.
But were you dismayed or were you indifferent?
Indifferent, just casual.
Can you tell me what duties the Ajax took up soon after war broke out?
Yeah, but well, we were off Rio, 300 miles off Rio when the war broke out. And we were patrolling, looking for any German ships we could find.
And did you find any?
Yes, within 3 hours of the war breaking out, we sunk the Olinda, which was a merchant ship. The next day, we sunk the Carl Fritzen. And about 2 weeks later, we sunk the Usakuma. We took the crews off before they sunk. Took them down to Falkland Islands, prisoners.
Did you see anything of the crew?
I didn't personally, because I was on the flag deck. But we was told that as they took them off the Usakuma, they'd say, "The shear will get you." That's why we thought it was the shear. But we found out later it wasn't. Do you know we found out?
No.
Well, on the way, as we were chasing after the Graff's Bay, we passed a little merchant ship, the Shakespeare. And they fired at the Shakespeare, and they signalled by wireless to our wireless, have sunk British ship, pick up survivors. We knew by their call sign that it was a Graff's Bay, because he was a call sign before they made a signal.
So you knew the call signs of the different German ships?
Well, the wireless office did. So the calls, it's all written down. So the call sign they gave was the Graff's Bay call sign. Until then, we thought it was a shear.
Did you know what? Did the crew of the Ajax know what the German seamen meant when they said that the shear would get you?
We thought they meant the pocket battleship, Admiral Shear, I think it was. But the reason for this is because, as it showed on the telly one night, he kept changing his nameplate to disguise his ship.
Did it worry you when you heard that they'd said that the shear would get you?
No.
Why not?
Well, was here to do a job. And no good worrying anyway.
Now, can you tell me what you remember of the day when the battle took place, starting from the call to action stations?
Yes, we just finished being up all night doing an exercise in case we met this battleship. And I just turned in, and Sigmund Wig come over and said, "The shear's up top." And I told him in no uncertain terms where to go, thinking he was pulling my leg. And then we heard the crashing of shells, and I believed him then, and went up and saw the extra was getting it.
Hadn't you heard a call to action stations sounded?
It sounded, yes, it just sounded then as he shot me. Yes, we heard the explosions, and then the action station sounded. We ran up on the flag deck. One signalman was so frightened, he lay there with his eyes shut. I kicked him in the stomach, said, "Come on, get up, we're all in this." After that, he was all right. We carried on flag hoisting. The signal was passed, because now we was the flagship. The captain told the chief yeoman, who speaks down the voice part to the yeoman, and we'd execute the order, hoisting the flags. Well, then shrapnel was knocking the aerials down. Then the yeoman got it in the face. Yeoman McRae. Lee and Sigmund Parrott took over and said, "I want two volunteers to stay here." So Ernie Grubb and me, we stayed. Then he got, I don't know what came first here. Anyway, during the action, while we was all on there, we saw four torpedoes coming towards us. But they must have gone underneath, because the ship, I mean, you can't keep your eyes on when you're hoisting flags. And they must have gone underneath, because they didn't hear us. But it just seemed seconds later we got it with the shells. That's when some of the gunner's crew was killed.
Which turret was that?
X turret.
Whereabouts on the ship were you working as signaller?
I was on the flag deck, which is just below the bridge. And that is above the where the guns were. There's guns behind, there's guns in front of us. This is the forecastle, that's the nose of the ship. And the bridge at the top, the next flat is the flag deck, where you got the flags and the, got the flags in lockers.
So are you on the port side or the starboard side?
I was on the port side. You know, it's both sides, I got flags both sides.
And what kind of view could you get of the Graffs Bay and the Exeter?
Well, you get a good view there, if you've got time to look. Because being the flagship, you're doing more flag hoisting than anybody. But when there's a lull, you can try and keep your eye on that and do your job at the same time.